Well, good morning. I'm always nervous when I do this, so my voice will probably shake for a little bit, so don't feel sorry for me. It's just, I just get nervous. All right, so I think many of you guys have probably heard that when federal agents are trying to figure out what counterfeit money is, they don't study the counterfeit money, they study the real thing. They feel it, they look at it, they hold it up to the light, they examine it. And then when they actually come across the counterfeit, then they know, hey, this isn't real. Okay, and so I want to talk about the real thing, which is our God, our Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And talk about, let's get to know him. He's the real thing. Let's study him so we can recognize the lies that come against us in our world. I may get emotional, so just to let you know. I have told you guys part of my story about South Africa. See, I'm already there. I'm already emotional. In the spring of 2017, I went there. It was an awesome trip. It was 2 weeks. And for the first part of it, we went to a conference in Clarens. And there were other churches from around South Africa there. And it was a very powerful time for me. There was an Iranian man there named Payman. And he came up to me after worship service and said, "Hey, I believe God has a word for you." And I'm like, "Great, who doesn't like a word?" And then he said his word. And although it was really good, it was really hard to hear. And he said, "You think you're trash. That's what you believe about yourself. And I want to tell you that God doesn't view you that way." And it was very, very hard to hear. It was very, very humbling, as you can imagine. And I have my team was with me. Chrissy was there. And I just started crying because that was so what I believed about myself for so long. And it was so deep inside of me. I almost didn't even know it was there. You know, something can become so familiar that you don't even recognize it anymore. And when he spoke those words, it just brought all the stuff out of me. And I just cried and cried and cried. And later that day, he's like, "I want you to come over and share with me and a few other people. Why? Why did that touch you so much?" And this is why. I don't know when I started believing that I wasn't worth anything. From a young age, I remember... As a child, I don't know what I did. I don't know what had happened. I just felt really icky and bad. And I went by our well because at one point I had looked down the well. My dad had must have taken the cap off and was doing something in there. And so to me, going to the well was the closest place I could get to hell because it went into the ground. And that's just the mind of a child. And so I went over to that well, and I just pictured myself being sucked down into hell, with just like demons grabbing me, and because I just had this sense of worthlessness over me. And I went through life that way in many ways, that I just didn't have any value. And so when he said that, it just, obviously, it really ripped my heart open. And so later that day, evening, we go to a house where Payman was staying, us and our team, and he's like, "Candace, what... why did that mean so much to you? Like, can you tell me a little bit more about it?" And so I'm, "Sure, great, I'll tell you," crying, nose snotty, bawling my head off, and so is everybody else. And this is why. I have felt so worthless that at that point in my life, I was thinking about how my family would be better off without me. I'm not talking about going to kill myself. I'm talking about leaving them. I'm talking about... God, my husband deserves a better woman than me. My kids deserve a better mother than I am. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. Why did you give these kids to me? Why this man? I just don't understand because I just don't have any value, and my anger and my pride, and it just gets in the way. You know, it gets in the way, doesn't it? It gets in the way of relationship. And I just felt like they'd be better off without me. And so I'd entertain thoughts of what it would be like to leave. Where would I go? Just get away and hide. This thing is kind of weird. Anyways, so I started confessing these things to the group of people. And it was the first time I'd ever said it in my life that I felt worthless and that my family was better off without me. And part of it is because I put a lot of pressure on myself. Any of you guys are into the Enneagram? I know it's kind of a thing lately, and it's a personality test, and I'm a one. And a one is a reformer, a perfectionist, really, and strives perfection constantly, expects it of themselves and everybody else. You can imagine how well that goes over in a family, especially when you have four kids. You need to be perfect. You have to do it this way. Anyway, so it doesn't go over very well. And so I have these thoughts running through my head of why I can't be a good mom to them, because I'm just so stuck in this mindset of I don't have any value. And so when Payman spoke those words, God just opened me up like this and exposed the truth to everyone else that this is how I feel, you know. But in that, God also brought a lot of healing, and it's just been something I've been walking through for the past almost 2 years. But right now, do you guys look at me and say, that woman's worthless? No, no, you don't, do you? Does God look at me and say, this woman is worthless? But what about you? What lie are you holding on to? If we were to get you up here and you were to tell me your lie, every single person in here would say, no, that's not true about you. Is anybody willing to share a lie they believe? Anybody? What's it? Disqualified for serving God because you're divorced. Is that true, you guys?
No.
Is that true?
No.
Does God see her that way?
No.
No. Anybody else? You're not good enough. Is that true?
No.
What makes her good enough? Jesus. Can you change? Who changes you?
Jesus.
We all have these lies in our life that we believe. And guess what? They're not true. They're not true. I am not worthless. And I don't believe that about myself anymore. Gary knew it, didn't you, Gary? You knew it, Marlis. You know what he did from the first moment I met him? He came up to me and he hugged me and he said, you're beautiful. God loves you. You're the most beautiful woman inside and out. And he said it to me every single Sunday. And honestly, I was like, yeah, thanks, Gary. Wasn't I? Like, I just, whatever. You know, he's just a nice man. But you know what? I believe it now. I believe it now, Gary, Marlis. I believe it. And it's real. It's because of God. It's because what he's done in my heart and my life. So I'm going to read this scripture to you. And this is what God thinks about this. This is the real thing right here in the scripture. This is the real God, the one we believe in, and the one that's true. And so as I read it, I just pray that God would saturate your souls in his word. God, I just pray right now that any deaf ears, Lord, I just pray that you rebuke the deafness of heart, deafness of mind, even physical deafness, God. I just ask it that you would come against it and open up hearts and minds to your truth in your word. Lord, any of the lies that people are believing right now, God, I just pray that you would wipe them out and speak truth into them right now. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, for you to manifest inside of us, for you to just manifest in this room and bring healing. Bring healing. In Jesus' name. All right. So now I'm really going to read Psalm 139. David wrote this psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even in the darkness, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is God's heart towards us. Towards us. This is his heart towards us. I love it when he says, you've searched me. God searched every single part of me, and guess what? He still says, I love you, Candace. You're worth it, Candace. He says it about you, Kylie. You know, he says it about all of us. Right. He has searched all of us and said, yes, I'm taking you as is. Does anybody want to share what part of that scripture just stuck out to you and something you want to grab a hold of, whether it's you want to believe it now or it's something you've believed for a while? Anybody?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. It's our identity. All of us. It doesn't matter the sin you've committed, what rock you crawled out of this morning to get here. None of that matters. God sees you. It doesn't matter if you think you can go hide in the dark and cloak yourself in sin and darkness and think you can hide from God. You can't. It's like, I don't know if this is the best analogy, but I think of my kids. You know when you play peekaboo with them, like babies especially, you cover their face. And then you peekaboo, and they're just surprised to see you. Oh my gosh, look at, you're here. Whoa, you didn't leave. Yeah, God doesn't leave, you know? Even when it looks like we're clothing ourselves in darkness and disgustingness, he doesn't leave. He's right there, and he's like, yeah, I'm here. I can see you. And he sees us, and I really like that. So in the scripture when it says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. He sees. He sees. There's power in the truth, right? This truth that I read to you, eat this. Get it inside you. Chew on it. Get it in your body. Let it nourish you, just like good food. A lot of you guys know my story. I've been through all kinds of crazy health stuff over the past 5 years, and I can only eat a certain number of foods, and they're all very healthy. And it's not by choice, okay? I love sugar and chocolate. That's what I would be eating if I could. I can't. Occasionally I do, and then I regret it. And then sometimes I eat way too much, and then I really regret it. But anyways, but that's what this is. This is good food for us. This whole thing is good food for us. And so just, you know, as we think about our physical health, let's think about our spiritual health too, what we're putting in our bodies, what we're listening to. You know, what voices are we listening to? What music are we listening to? What TV shows are we watching? What movies are we watching? What books are we reading? What are we telling ourselves? What kind of conversations are we having with people? Is it nourishing? The Word of God is nourishing, and it's good for us. I just wish I could take this and shove it in you and into myself, and I can't. It's just the work of God that does it. There's another scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and I know we're all familiar with this, but it's, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Truth. This is truth. This is who God is. This is what he thinks about us. And don't gloss over it like, yeah, yeah, I've heard that before. Mm-mm. No, this is real. The word is alive. It's alive. And God is for us. That's what he says. I'm not against you, I'm for you. You know, there's Satan. The scripture describes him like a roaring lion. He's out to seek whoever he can devour, you know, and get a hold of. But the word of God, if you know the word of God, you can go against that because you know the truth of what God is saying. In Romans 8, verse 16, I am going to be in Romans a lot too. You could read the whole thing and learn all about the Holy Spirit, really. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Romans 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." That's the truth. The Spirit of God that's in us is testifying with the Spirit that's in us. That's one way we can know the truth, is the testimony of the Spirit within. And I know probably months we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and all the different aspects of the Holy Spirit and how he's a counselor and how we can follow him. And, you know, it's always kind of seems like it's out there. Yeah, I'm going to follow God, whatever that means, however that looks. Okay, sounds good. Let's go. Let's do life. You know, sometimes that's how it can be. And but that's not what it's following. God isn't out there. It's a real thing. It's a real thing we do. And when we follow God, I'm going to say God, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say Jesus. They're three in one. I'll interchange them just so you know. But we are following Christ who gave himself up for us. We're following a man who said yes to death on a cross. That's the kind of man we're following. And he also got raised from the dead and then went into heaven, all right? And that's what makes salvation so powerful, is because he rose again. He didn't stay in the ground. And that's the kind of man that we're following. He, right before he gets taken to die on the cross, or before they capture him, you know, he says in, I can't remember where it is, I think it's John, and he says, "Unless a man dies and bears fruit," unless he dies and bears fruit, then what? You know? So he went and died, and we are the fruit of his death. Right here. Another scripture, and we're going to camp out here for a while. It's Psalm 23. Oops, I'm in the wrong spot. David also wrote this, and this is our shepherd that we read about. In Psalm 139, the shepherd that died on the cross for us, the shepherd that rose again, I mean, the shepherd that left heaven to become man. This is who we're following. "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Isn't that nice? Doesn't that feel good? "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." I went backpacking this summer with my dad and sister and mom, and we went into the Jewel Basin. And there was this place up high by Picnic Lakes that is gorgeous. And that when he leads me beside quiet waters, I'm in that place in the mountains, in the Jewel Basin, because there's this gorgeous stream. And there are these high mountains right behind it. And there was wildflowers blooming in September, you know, ones that we get in June. And it was very beautiful. And so that's what I pictured in my mind anyways. I know that's a little rabbit trail, but "And he restores my soul." Doesn't that sound nice? The restoration of a soul? Yeah. Sounds real good, doesn't it? You know, but sometimes it can be hard, because when God used payment to say, "You feel like trash," and it was very humbling, that's part of the restoration. I needed to hear that. Sometimes we don't want to hear the things that God has to say because they're painful and they hurt. But if we don't hear them, how is our soul going to be restored? We have to get those lies out of us so God can do his healing work inside of us. And then it says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When we follow God on a path of righteousness, when I've read this in the past, I've always thought of it like, you know, I'm just going to do the right thing because, remember, I'm in one and I like to be perfect and I like everybody else to be perfect. And sometimes I think I am perfect, but I really know I'm not. So, you know, you get in all that kind of thinking. But I always just thought that path of righteousness was just one of, oh, I act a certain way. But that's not what he's saying here. I don't believe. Because if you take the scripture as a whole, and often when God talks about righteousness, he links it with faith. In Hebrews 11, Maybe I shouldn't just look at my notes. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So when he leads us down paths of righteousness, it's a path of faith. In Romans 1, verse 17, it says, the righteous man will live by faith. And so when we walk down these paths of righteousness that are for his name's sake, for his glory, right after that he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's where the paths of righteousness goes to. And the shepherd leads us down those paths in the darkness of our souls, in the darkness of when we're feeling worthless, all of that. God is leading me out of that with that kind of identity of worthlessness. So I feel like I'm not quite communicating this right. But when we're in darkness, that doesn't mean God left. When we're going through hard times, that doesn't mean we're a bad person. When bad things happen, that doesn't mean God turned his back on us. He's leading us. He's a shepherd. And he says, yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, we see that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod, from what I read, is what the shepherds use to count their sheep. He counted them. He knows how many he has. He's counted you, you know. He knows you're here. He knows where you are, and he counts you part of his flock. And the staff is what he used to beat off the wolves and the dogs with. So when you're walking through that valley and you feel like you're in alone, God's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. He doesn't leave. I know from personal experience, that those paths are very dark, and a lot of times that's when the lies really start coming. So when you start believing something, and like I said, I don't know when I started believing I was worthless, I just know I believed it. And it was just always in me. And so it affected lots of decisions. I can't do it because I'm worthless. I can't go there because I'm worthless. And we take it on. And then it's like, I'm worthless. Well, if I'm worthless, why did Christ die for me? Well, he couldn't have died for me because I'm worthless, right? And we start questioning God, and we start questioning his character. And I've even attacked him and said, who are you? Why are you doing this? You're not good. I don't understand this, God. This doesn't make sense. I'm angry with him. And it's because I start with, I'm worthless. And when you start believing a lie, you start believing more lies and more lies. And then you're questioning who God is. And then he's even with you. God, you're not with me. You've abandoned me. You've forsaken me. I remember one period of my life where I just felt like, and I know this probably sounds dramatic, but I felt like I was inside a box, squished in there, that was a soundproof box, and it was thrown in the bottom of the ocean floor. And I was screaming, but nobody could hear me. God couldn't even hear me. And it was just a dark period in my life. But that isn't true. But I believed that was true. You know, so the truth is God sees, but I got so inside myself that I didn't believe I didn't believe who God was for me. And so then I get stuck in that depression and that anxiety and that devaluing myself because I'm questioning God's character. I'm questioning me. I'm questioning everything around me. And it's, you guys know it's an icky place to be because we've all been there. Not one of us hasn't been there. And there's a lot of us here that are there right now. But lies can come in many, many forms that we believe. In Matthew 4, Jesus is in, he spent 40 days in the desert being fasting. And then at the end of those 40 days, Satan comes to tempt Jesus. And so he's really hungry. And he's like, hey, why don't you turn that stone into some bread? And Jesus is like, hey, I don't live on bread alone, but every word that comes from my Father's mouth. And then Satan leads him up to like this cliff. And he's like, hey, why don't you jump off this? Because the scripture says, ha ha ha, he will command his angels concerning you. So Satan used scripture against Jesus. But Jesus says, ah, but scripture also says, do not test the Lord your God. And you see in this moment how Satan was trying to deceive Jesus with scripture. He knows the scripture, guys. He ain't stupid. He's been around for a long time. He knows your family. He knows the generational lines. He knows the sins that your family has struggled with. He knows you. He isn't stupid. All right? And so he can't get in your head. I just want to say that. He cannot get in your head because I used to think that he could read my thoughts. He can't. All right? He can't get in your head. But he knows the human plight. And so he will tempt us and he'll even tempt us with scripture. And if you just took that one scripture like that out of context, like that, here's my cliff. You know what, Satan? You're right. It does say God's going to command his angels concerning me. Oh, and then you jump off the cliff. That'd be stupid, right? But that's what happens when we don't know the whole scripture. That's why it's important to know the whole thing and not just parts of it. And so when you're reading scripture, it's really important to read what's before and what's behind and get into the context of what it's about because you're going to do something stupid. And we've all done stupid, right? I've done lots of stupid. We need to know the whole of God so we're not fooled by Satan's one little word in that case. What about others? What have others spoken over you and you've grabbed a hold of it and believed it? When I was in college, I went to college at the University of Montana, and I was part of a Chi Alpha group. And Chi Alpha is it's the Assembly of God sort of ministry for college kids. And so I was part of that group, and my senior year, I was the president of that group. And one of the things the president got to do is speak in front of the other kids, and I was so excited because I'm one of those weird people that actually likes doing this. It's so weird, I know. Although I get extremely nervous and everything, and I did a lot of that this week, and I feel insecure and all that stuff. But anyway, so I was really excited because I got to write a teaching, which I love to do, and get in the scripture in the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm like, yes, this is going to be so much fun. And my pastor came up to me and he said, Candace, I don't think you should speak in front of people. And I'm like, oh? And he's like, you don't have a talent for it. So I just don't believe it's what God's calling you to do. So you're not going to be speaking in front of everybody. And I was devastated. I'm just like, oh, where have I gone wrong? You know, like, I've always liked this. And it was just such a huge passion inside of me. And I was terribly disappointed, and it crushed me big time, and it actually ruined me for a long time because I had to get up and do announcements. I could hardly do announcements anymore in front of these other students because of that word that was spoken over me. I just took it on, and I believed it, and I fought with it for a long time inside myself. And I know I've said this before, but the first time I spoke, the night before, I was in my closet bawling my head off, saying, I can't do this, I can't do this. But whose voice was that? That wasn't God's voice that was saying it. And I took hold of what that pastor said, and I made it my own. And I really do like doing this. It's fun, and I'm glad I get to do it. Yeah. What about our own voices? You know, I'm worthless. I can't help God because I'm a divorced woman. I'm never going to move on. I'm just going to be stuck where I always am. I'm not good enough. Somebody said I couldn't. or I just say I can't, or you fail at something, and so you're, oh gosh, I'm such an idiot. You know, that's what I do. My perfectionist part of me, oh, that was so stupid. You know, and you play it over and over your head, and you're pretty sure everybody thinks you're just as stupid as you think you are, and it's not true, because nobody's really thinking about you, just you. It's true. You know it is. And sometimes our own voices can be very deceptive. One thing I have done is there's a scripture verse in Ecclesiastes. And Jared's like, yes, Ecclesiastes. And it says, basically, the wise man will avoid both extremes. Oh, what does it say? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. I can be kind of extreme. I think you could probably guess that from my analogy of being in the box, soundproof box, in the bottom of the ocean floor. Okay, I like extremes. But I like this verse because I can use it as an excuse not to do anything. And that's what I've done. I've taken scripture and said, the wise man avoids extremes. I'm not going to do da, 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 da. And so now I'm going to tell you one thing that I haven't done, so then you can ask me about it till I do it. So we live in a neighborhood by Fort Harrison, and it's everybody likes to keep to themselves, so nobody really ever talks to anybody, including us. We're kind of recluses. And I felt like over the years that God really wanted me to reach out to my neighbors. Just simple things, nothing dramatic. Bake some cookies. I like to bake. Bring them over. Hey, my name's Candace. This is my family. How are you? You know, just start off that way. Having a neighborhood barbecue. I've had little dreams. Oh, it'd be cool if we did this and that. You know, and then I just brush them aside. Hey, that's God. That's God putting something inside me and saying, reach out to these people. Help them out. Encourage them. And we have all kinds of new neighbors. Our neighborhood was old. We've had a lot of old people pass on. And we have a lot of young families coming in right now. I think there's been, what, 4 or 5 in the past year that has moved within a block or two of where we live. So don't you think it's time that I do something about it? Yeah. Yep, that's God when God tells us that kind of stuff. Sometimes we think it's not a big deal. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And so if you've ever used scripture to lie to yourself, not a good idea. But here's one thing, too, is like, okay, so I say, all right, so the wise man avoids all extremes, and that's not fully what it means. If you really look into it, like my dad encouraged me to do, it doesn't really mean all that, and I'm not going to get into it, but I was taking it out of context, all right, and I was using it for my own benefit. So now I let go of that false stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm not holding on to that anymore, so my arms are wide open, so now what do I do, all right? And sometimes this is when we feel very vulnerable, and it's not time to go and pick up that lie again. It's time to grab hold of the truth. It's time to go and invite my neighbors and be nice to them and actually smile at them and wave at them when they drive by. And so I have some action steps for us to take. One of them is in 2 Corinthians 10, action steps to take when you are believing a lie. It's 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage as the world does. We've been talking about how it's a spiritual warfare, right? Over the past months. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So in order to take those thought captive, those thoughts, those negative thoughts, and make it obedient to Christ, you have to have the truth. Right here, right? Here's the truth. And you take the truth, and this is described as the sword in Ephesians, and you take that truth and you chop the lie's head right off with it. So the lie is, Candace, you're worthless. The truth is, Candace, I find value in you. I died for you. That's the truth. And you take that lie, and if you submit it to Christ, who is true, it has to be true. It doesn't have any power when you take it under the who God is. It doesn't have any power when you put the scripture over it. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, because you're taking it captive, all right? You're saying, no, I got you. Truth now. And the truth is you have value. The truth is you have something to offer this church. That's the truth. The truth is God has given you a spirit of self-control so you can move on from whatever you're having a problem with. That is the truth, all right? Another action to take with walking our faith, walking out our faith, if we go back to Psalm 23, it says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay, so what does that mean? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The lies are all around us, right? The enemy is Satan. Okay, it's not your neighbor. It's the demonic realm. That is your enemy. And so even though you're going to be surrounded by the enemy, because you are, and you're going to be surrounded by those lies, and they're still going to come, that's true. But what does God do? He prepares a table before you. He prepares something for you to eat. And we find in Scripture that, like Jesus said, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And John 4:34, he also says, my food is to do the will of my Father. So when he prepares that table, that food, I believe, is what God has for us to do. It's his word. It's his truth. It's not just, you know, something physically to eat. It's this. It's the scripture verse. And the scripture verse is active. And it requires action, not just reading, la-di-da. It's action. We do something with it. And if God wants us to do his will and to finish his work, what's that like? Now, if we look at scripture, there's a huge amount of things that talk about what God's will is. You know, being kind, being forgiving. I mean, if you guys look at the scripture verses on the kingdom of God is like, I've been reading a lot about that. It's like forgiveness. There's a lot of that in there. It's like being childlike. It's about humility. It's about valuing other people. That's what the kingdom of God is like. So if you don't know what God's will is, right there. Start right there. Forgive. Value people. Be kind to people. That's a great place to... And I know a lot of you probably are doing that, but I encourage you to keep doing it, to keep going. That is about... That's kingdom work. It's not necessarily this huge, big production. It's the simple, and that's often the hardest things to do because you don't always get a lot of glory in it. In Romans, here we are in Romans again, 12 verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the mind again. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when we can take those thoughts captive and submit them to Christ and have the truth, when we're in the Word and we are praying with God, he can show us his will. Not just, you know, the acts of kindness and the forgiveness stuff, but the specific will in your life, because, like, you have a calling on your life. You're called to do something. And with that calling, we're part of God's kingdom, and we advance with God within that calling. So I just encourage you, just submit yourselves to God. Get your minds clear, whatever that looks like. If it's meditating, if it's running, if it's riding horses. Yeah, horses. That's a way to get the mind clear. There's things you can do to clear your mind and allow God to get his word inside of you. It takes faith, right, in the Holy Spirit. He's in us. We do that. And it's hard. Discipline is hard. Who likes discipline? Most people don't. But we have to have discipline. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I know taking the time out of your day, and oh gosh, I got to take my time out of the day, and I got to read this word, and it's so exhausting, and I never know what it's going to say. You know, you got to take time out and just do it. You just got to do it. And I don't know what else to say. Just do it. Yeah. But what are you going to do about it? All right. So what are you going to do about this word of God? You got to own it. It's yours. This is for us. Own it. It's not, His word, and I'm not just this, God's word is alive. He speaks to our hearts even here now, you know, but it's, you can measure it against the word of God, and I really believe that. And that's why I will hold this up 500 times and say it's really good. So own it. Why did you say yes to God? You ever ask yourself that? Like, why did I say yes? I mean, I don't honestly remember. I just remember the lady that said, hey, do you want to be a Christian? And she was really nice. She was my neighbor. And she had a great smile on her face. And I said, yes. And I was like six. And so that's my memory of why I said yes to God. But it's not a one-time thing. You say yes every day. You have to. You know, you work out your salvation. You're saying yes all the time. Why are you saying yes right now? Why are you sitting here? Why'd you get up and come to church today? Why? What's your purpose in this? I really encourage you guys to search your hearts and figure out what your why is. Because honestly, all that self-discipline that it takes to learn God's word, it's going to go out the window. Because you don't know your why. Why? Why are you here? Why do you want to be a part of God's kingdom? What's in your heart to do? Because you know he put it there for you to do. This thing is driving me nuts. Okay. So a third action step, and I think I probably sort of already covered this, but I'm going to say it again, is in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And some of the armor of God is a shield of faith, which is what we've been talking about, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what the scripture says. And we don't just sit here and like defend ourselves and go back and, you know, we advance. We're advancing. The Roman soldiers, what they did is they got together with their huge shields and they clustered together. And I don't remember what it's called. I just know it starts with a T, but they had a name for it. And they'd all cluster together and their shields would be out in front like this. And they'd be like in a square. And then the guys on the outside side would have their shields like this. And the guys in the middle would have their shields over and they'd advance. And the scripture talks about the fiery arrows, Satan's arrows, the lies coming at you. Well, they made this defense, so it was really hard for the enemy's arrows to get in, and they were just able to go and conquer so many lands just because of their offense, which was having a shield and moving forward together as a unit. And that's a whole nother thing. We can go together as a unit. Right here, together, we all have something to offer each other, right? And let's advance forward to move the kingdom of God, to grow it. That's part of our calling. That's what God asks us to do, is advance his kingdom. But let's get together. Let's take that faith together and encourage each other. Let's take the truth with each other and advance together so we're not alone. I know what it's like to be isolated, and it sucks. Get in community. It's important. It's important. And I know it's not that easy. I mean, I used to come in here and think, gosh, these guys are so clicky. I don't like being around them. You know, it's so awkward. I thought that for years. Sorry, I did. And sometimes what it took, honestly, is I had to get outside of my shell and, like, say hi to people and be approachable and friendly. And that doesn't excuse. We all should be that way. If you own this church, if this is your family, then really own it and make it your home and say hi to people. Reach out. And if you're new, I'm sorry. It can be a little awkward, but I encourage you, say hi back. You know, it can be hard. So those are some action steps to take. And if we look again back to Psalm 23... it says that you anoint my head with oil. So when people's head were anointed with oil in the Old Testament, that's when God was preparing for them to do something. I believe he anoints our head. He's saying, I'm commissioning you. I have work for you to do. And so he anoints our head, and he has something for us to do. So part of your why is somewhere in there is a passion you have inside of you. Something you really, really want to do. Something that's in your heart to do but can be kind of scary. But that doesn't mean it's not of God and it's worth doing. I listened to this podcast called Do It Scared. I really like it. I have a girl crush on the lady that does it, Ruth Sukup. It's really good stuff and I enjoy her podcast. But she had a lady on there who basically said that we all have been given something to give to others, and it's we're not supposed to hold it back in. We're not supposed to hold it in and keep it for ourselves. There's a scripture verse on that. Jesus talks about the man who went and buried his talent. You have something. Don't bury it inside of you. You know, and Satan, if he can't condemn your soul to hell, he will try to do everything to make you ineffective in the kingdom of God. That's his goal. Don't give in to him. So God has put something inside of you, and he wants you to use it. Every single one of you have something inside of you, and God wants to use it. Own it. Make it your own. Partner with God and run with it. You're going to fail, right? Because we do sometimes just fail in Christ. Fall on the rock. It's okay to do that because the kingdom is still advancing. It's still going. Own your calling. Own your calling. Let's be done with the lies. Let's be done with the excuses. And it says in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. He gives us more than enough, guys. He does. I know sometimes it feels like you're naked and raw and completely empty, but it doesn't mean it's true. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Goodness and love. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's heaven. Heaven is our home. And if we could, sometimes I get a little nuts about this when I think about it, but I'm like, if we could just grasp this idea that this earth isn't our home and that heaven is our home, how would we live our lives, like, way differently? Like, I don't have to care about what everybody thinks about me. I don't have to care about the world's opinion. I don't have to conform to them because that's my God and that's my home, not this place. I'm just here to help advance God's kingdom and bring about his kingdom. There's something I started doing, and in the past I would have been embarrassed to mention this, but I'm going to say it. I read affirmations over myself, which is just truth. I read truth over myself every day because I want to get it inside me. Because I'm done with feeling worthless. You know, are there times when I do? You bet. Do I have to fight it? Yep, I do. Have to fight it. Have to walk it out. Got to take my sword. Got to take my shield. Sometimes I don't, and I'm just laying on my floor in a mess. But then you get back up and you go and do, right? And so I've been reading affirmations over myself, and I put them in the bulletin so everybody has one. And there's a few errors in there, so sorry. But I want to read these over you right now. I'm going to read these affirmations over you because this is the truth. I don't know what lies you're believing, but I know what the truth is, and that is bigger than the lies. And so I'm going to read these truths over you. They're all based on scripture. There's scripture verse there with them. You can follow along. You can read them over yourself while I do this. God loves me so much, he sent his son Jesus to live as a man and die on the cross. Me meaning all of us right in here. God sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are so interested in us that they formed our innermost parts. They knit us together in our mom's womb. There's my mom right there. God knit me in her womb, and he saw me. And that's pretty cool. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, like Brandon was saying, in the image of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. My frame is not hidden from my Father, and neither is yours. He knows our thoughts and all that we do, and still he said, I am worth the cost. We are worth the cost of Jesus' life and of his suffering. Jesus bought me with his life. His deep love makes us a new creation. We are not a slave, but a friend and heir with Christ. His life gave us the right to be called a child of God. We can cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. There is no condemnation in us, for we are in Christ Jesus. He encircles me, cares for me, and we are the apple of his eye. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit because he has good works for us to do. Own that. He has good works for us to do. He knows the plans he has for us to give us a hope and a future. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared for us. He set us free and gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. He gives us strength and courage while teaming with us to bring about his kingdom. This is truth. I encourage you guys to speak this over yourselves. It will transform your heart. It will, because it's the word of God, and the word is powerful. I know these things can be really hard to believe. I am reading this, and some of you are probably totally glazed, like, whatever. It's really hard to believe because never believed it before. Nobody's ever said the truth. Haven't had it spoken over us before. And there's a battle. There is a battle going on right now in the spiritual realm. Whether you're going to believe truth or not, whether you're going to hold on to the lies or not. And it can be hard to believe something like this, when you have been believing something totally different for so long. It's been hard walking out the sense of value that I have in myself. It's been difficult. The other day, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyways. The other day, I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh, I look kind of cute today. That was like new for me. I don't think that. That's not like a Candace thought. And I thought, what? And I went and told Zach and he laughed. He's like, really? Because like, that's not what I would normally say about myself. But it's a good thing. You can look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm beautiful. Or I look cute today. Like I'm sassy. Whatever it is. That's okay. It's okay. Because it's true. And it's not just about physical. It's about in here. It's out. Yeah. It's your identity. It's in here. I know it's easy to listen to the lies and believe them. Would you guys just take a moment and close your eyes? I just want you to think about that lie that you believe in yourself. About yourself. And if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what that lie is, say something you want to do, and then listen to the voices that come into your mind after you say something you want to do. Because a lot of times, I want to go and help my neighbors. Oh, they don't care. And all these lies start coming in. You know, who are you? You're nobody. I care about you. This is a waste of your time. Da 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 da. If you don't know what the lie is you're believing, just say what you want to do and then hear all the negative things that can come into your mind.